I wanted to turn in God's Word to the book of Acts and the chapter 13, the portion of God's Word that we read together. Acts chapter 13. My text is found in verse 26. At the very end of verse 26, we read the words. We'll just read the whole verse. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God. And here's our text tonight. To you is the word of this salvation sent. To you is the word of this salvation sent. What we have here, our theme, is a message sent from heaven. A message that's sent from heaven. So let's look to the Lord and ask for his help. Father in heaven, we pray that thou would be with us tonight around the Word of God. We come, Lord, to a very important part of this service. We've come to preach the gospel. And therefore, we feel so weak. And therefore, Lord, we cast our eyes up unto thee. I will lift mine eyes on the hills, for thence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. This was the testimony of the psalmist. And I lift my eyes unto thee tonight. We pray you settle us down in thy presence. And you be with us, Lord. And bless your word and truth to all hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Sending messages is part and parcel of our life. A lot of us can remember the old method. Of course, that is the pen and the paper. Where you had to sit and write your letter, put it into an envelope, and send it to whomever you were writing to. Of course, there are still many, many people using that method even today. And so we find, even though, of course, over the United Kingdom, millions of letters have been brought by the postman to homes every day. I'm sure everyone here knows, of course, the postman arriving to your house, bringing the letters, and you run out and you look at them and you're looking for messages. Now, of course, technology has changed everything. We can send messages now by the flick of a phone switch. They tell us here in the United States of America that I came across was yesterday, 6 billion SMS messages, which are text messages, are sent every day in the United States of America. That's a lot of messages. And of course, when you see anybody today in the doctors or wherever you are, you can see why it's so high. There are people today, especially young people, and the phone never seems to be out of their hand. And they're sending messages. Now, I'm not against technology. I think it's wonderful. Now, if I want to send a message to somebody, with a few pushes, a few buttons, I can send a message right from America, right to my family in Northern Ireland in a moment. And if they get that message, in a short space of time, another message comes into my phone. That is tremendous. We send messages in these ways today. Even you think they're with email. It's amazing also now we can write a letter on a screen. And I'm sure everyone here, and most people, I know some people told me here, they don't have a computer and so on, and they don't do it. Well, fair play to them. But I would say the greater majority of people here knows what I'm speaking about. About sending out a message by email. It's wonderful that we can type up our letter, push a button, and immediately that letter is sent to another screen, to another computer, and someone has received the message that we have written to them. Now, of course, there are billions of emails sent every day. I don't know about you, but sometimes we get a lot of emails that's not sent by someone. A lot of rubbish comes in to our computers. Now, never mind. Here's the thing. Sending messages. It is part and parcel of our life. We send them by writing. We send them by text messaging. We send them by emails. We can send messages by phone calls. We're always sending messages to people. Now, in biblical times, they had no phone. And I'm sure some of us here tonight can remember back when we were growing up, there maybe was not a phone. in your home. I remember as a young lad growing up in County Armagh, Northern Ireland, in our village, there was hardly any phone. Very few people had a phone. Now everybody seems to have a phone, even in their pocket. And so we find that in biblical times, it was a pen and paper. Or the word of mouth. Somebody delivered a message and says, I want you to go and to bring this message to such and such a person. That's why we read in Job 9 verse 25, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. And Job here, he is speaking about the one who was like the postman on a horse. And he set off as fast as he could to deliver the message that was placed in his hand. And so they didn't have the phone. They didn't have the text, the emails, the computers. Here today, we speak about a message. The Apostle Paul, on his missionary journeys, he's going around and he's preaching the Word of God. And he says here to his congregation, here in Antioch, he talks to them about a message that he had brought to this people. And think of this mighty man of God, and he's standing before the people. And he says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Here's a man had a message. He had a message for this people. But the message was from God. A message from the God of heaven to this people. For he says, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And I said tonight to this congregation, we come to this text, and we come to this word, and we can say the same things that the Apostle Paul said. I can say to everyone, young and old, in this meeting tonight, in the first day of 2017, to you is the word of this salvation sent. There's a message sent down from heaven to your heart tonight. A message sent from heaven. I want to say a number of things about this message. Here is a prominent message. If you listen to the words of the Apostle Paul, that a message that has been sent, he calls it. Notice the title that he puts here upon this message. He says it is the word of salvation. Now, everyone here tonight can see immediately. Here is a very prominent and here's a very important message. For I don't know about you, but I know about myself. Here's a message we need to hear. Here's a message the people of America needs to hear. Here's a message that everybody in the world needs to hear tonight. That's why we were singing, Send the Light. Send the blessed gospel light. Here is a very prominent and a very important message because it's the word of this salvation. It's all about salvation and we all need salvation. Everyone in this meeting tonight, young or old alike, you need salvation. You need to be saved. You need to be forgiven. You need your sins taken away, you see. This is a very important message. As I said, there's emails come in to my computer. They go straight into the bin. Straight into it. But here's a message that's very important. That should grasp our intention. You see, the source of this message. Apostle Paul was bringing this word to the people. Where did he get the message from? Was it his message? Did he write up this letter for this people? Was it all his ideas? Not one bit of it. You see, here was a message that he brought to the people, and it came from God. This was a message from heaven. It was a word of salvation from God. Now, if you look at this chapter, you will see the source of this message. Look at verse 7 of Acts chapter 13. I talked about Paul. It says, which was from the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, he called for Barabbas and Saul and desired, notice, to hear the word of God. Now look at verse 44 of this same chapter in Acts chapter 13. And it said the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Verse 49. And it says, and the word of the Lord was published. Now, you and I can see immediately that this message came from God. This is God's message. God has sent down this message from the very courts of heaven. The word of salvation, the message that the Apostle Paul brought onto this people in Antioch, it came from the God of heaven. Now, we have noticed a few times in this chapter. It's the word of God. It's the word of the Lord. That should grasp our attention immediately. That this is a very important message. It has a stamp of the King upon it. Over in Northern Ireland or Scotland, when I served the Lord the last time, it was before he came here, you get a stamp. The Queen's head's on it, the stamp. But here is a message, God's stamp is upon it. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, when he was speaking about his ministry, he said, separated unto the gospel of God. And he shows immediately, this is not man's gospel. This is not any church's gospel. He said, this gospel that I bring, this gospel that I preach, he said, is God's gospel. It's a prominent message that's sent down from heaven. It's a message that came from God. And sometimes we get letters into our mailbox and you look at them and you see the mark of the government on it. It may have something to do with your car tax or whatever it may be. You know, that's important because of the stamp upon it. Well, here's a message. And the source of it is from God. It's from God. And then you think also it showed a prominent message. The subject of the message made it a prominent message. You see, the words previous to and after this text shows us, and I want you to notice this, that the message was all of Christ. The message was full of Christ. And I say to you tonight, it can be in no other way. And here's the reason. Because if you have no Christ, you have no salvation. It's impossible. It's impossible. It's impossible to be saved if you haven't got the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible to get God's so great salvation if you haven't got Christ. And so the very source, the very subject of this message, it was all to do with Christ. In 1 John 5, verse 11, I want you to listen to these words that John wrote down. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Where is eternal life to be found? It's not to be found in the Free Presbyterian Church or any other cult or any other person. Eternal life is not found in the law of God or in our works. Eternal life is found in His Son. So here's the subject of this message. It's all about Jesus Christ. All about Him. Savior of the world. He talks about His identification. You look at verse 22 of Acts chapter 13. He talks about David, and when he had removed him, that's Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. There's identification of Christ here. He talks about the Lord Jesus Christ being of the seed of David. But notice, He's a Savior. He speaks about His humanity here. And when you read Matthew 1 and verse 1, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked those men one time who were gathered around Him, that what think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? And they all said, He's the son of David. He's the son of David. You see, this tells us who he is. He's of the seed of David, yet notice, he's the Savior of the world. And it tells the identification of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. This message is all about the Son of David. It's all about the Son of God. And so I say to you, it's a very prominent message. This message that was sent to this people at Antioch is about Christ. It's about him. And that's the message I bring to you tonight in this pulpit and other men who preach from this pulpit and in our church. We preach Jesus Christ. We preach about him. He went on to speak also, can I say, about his crucifixion. You see that in verse 28. And he says, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired their Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree. Now notice, the Lord Jesus upon the tree, but they killed him. You and I come to God's word. We can read about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see him walking up that hill of Calvary, being laid upon that cross, being nailed to the cross, pulled up into a socket. There he is, the Son of God, who did no sin, and who knew no sin. But we find, according to the Bible, that he's dying for our sins, and he's suffering for us. That's why Paul could write in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And the Apostle Paul was speaking to these people at Antioch. He brings them to the cross. He tells them, you have slain the Lord Jesus Christ. He's hung upon the tree. He has died. He has been put to death. He has shed his blood. He brings them to the cross here at Calvary. And the gospel is a prominent message because it speaks about the blood. It speaks about the death of the Son of God. If you listen to anybody preaching the gospel and they don't bring you to the cross, they haven't preached the gospel. They're preaching another gospel. But the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel of God. This was the word that God had sent to them. That Jesus Christ, his own beloved Son, had come into this world. He had went to the cross. He bled and died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Why we're saying there tonight, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is the word of salvation. This is a very prominent message. We preach the cross and Jesus Christ, him crucified, that he bled and died for our sins, that he made a great sacrifice for our sins. This is a message God sent down from heaven to this earth. This is the word of salvation. As I said earlier on, there's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. There's no salvation without the blood. This is God's message. That's why Paul said, I am set for the defense of this gospel. It was precious to him. I'm glad we're in a church that defends the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this match, he spoke about the crucifixion of Christ. And I say to you today, we think of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bled and he died for our sins. He suffered in our place. He is the Savior of the world. And he died for sinners. I think here he talks about the resurrection of Christ. Look at verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. Thank the Lord for the but gods in the Bible. Because when you come there to verse 29 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus is dead. They put him to death. But here's the tremendous news of the gospel, or this message that came down from God of heaven. But God raised him from the dead. Up from the grave he arose. That's the message of the gospel that we preach. Of course we preach the cross. Of course we tell people about the death of the Son of God, how he died for us. But we have a living Savior. But God raised him from the dead. He's alive, and he's alive forevermore. You can see the Apostle Paul standing here at Antioch. Well, he's delivering this message that came down from heaven. This is the word of salvation that he's bringing to the people. But God raised him from the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's alive. He's alive forevermore. Well, that's the message we proclaim today. In the first day in the church here in 2017, listen, Jesus is alive. He's alive. God accepted the sacrifice that he made. He rose from the dead. Well, you say, well, what about the proof of this? Well, if you look at verse 31 of this particular message that Paul brought in Acts chapter 13 and verse 31, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And notice he says here, he was seen many days. The Lord Jesus was seen. That he was alive. Some people said to me in my ministry, especially when we do door-to-door evangelism, you know, well, nobody ever come back from the dead to tell us about eternity. I says, that's not true. And they look at me as if I have horns on me. He says, Jesus Christ came back. He came back from the dead. And when you come to God's word, of course, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 5, or verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Then it says, and that he was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12, and after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once. And so it tells us here in God's word, at one time there were 500 people gathered. And somebody very special appeared to them. Who was this? It's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was preaching to this people. He tells them about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God raised him from the dead, and many people saw it. Well, some may say, well, I didn't see it. That's not the case. There were many people saw the Lord Jesus Christ was alive. The proof of the resurrection, you see. You can read there in Acts 4 about Peter and then the apostles. They went out and preached that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's alive. He's alive forevermore. They saw he was alive. You see, this is the subject of the gospel. It's about Jesus Christ, his identification, his crucifixion, his resurrection. Listen, his salvation. Look at verse 38 of this particular chapter. He says, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And the Apostle Paul is preaching how to be forgiven. How to get our sins all taken away. Well, he tells them very powerfully, and you know, he tells them very plainly, that it's through this man. What man is this? It's Jesus Christ. It's him. This is the man who can take away your sin. This is the man who can wash away all your sin. As I said, we were singing about this. Forgiveness is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1 verse 7, a tremendous verse, it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is the message of the Bible. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message from this word of salvation that came down from heaven. And Paul is saying to these people, here's how you can be saved. Here's how you can be forgiven. It's through Jesus Christ, his blood can wash away your sin. He's the only one who can forgive you and take away your sin. Now, this is the message we bring. This is the message we preach in this pulpit and in our church. This is the living message of the gospel of Christ. He tells them also about salvation, that is by faith. Notice verse 39 of this particular passage. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, he continues to tell them here, here's how you can be justified. Here's how you can be saved. It's by faith. By him all that believe are justified. And I want you to notice those words. It's not all that work are justified. It's not all that just come to church is justified. But he says to these people, oh, ye that believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. You think of the words that Apostle Paul said there to that Philippian jailer. He came in trembling. And he cried out, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and Silas looked at this man, and they had one united message, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. That's what they told him. One time you had to join some particular cult or church. Or you had to do some works. It says, believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Trust him, and he'll give you everlasting life. He'll save you. This is the subject of this message from God, from heaven. This is the word of salvation that came down from God, the God of heaven. The Lord Jesus is the Savior. Trust him. Put your faith in him. It's not by the works of the law, as Galatians 2, verse 16 tells us. Now, this is a prominent message. It is the word of salvation. I think every one of us here tonight, young and old alike, would agree with us that this is a very important message. We need to be saved. We need to be forgiven. We need to get right with God. But God has sent down a message from heaven. It is called the word of salvation. And all in that message tells us, as I've told you tonight, about Christ, about his son, about his love, about his death, about his resurrection, about his power that he can save to the very uttermost. This is a prominent message. The message of the gospel of Christ. And you see, it's a personal message too, because he says there in Acts chapter 13 and the verse 26, he says, to you is the word of this salvation sent. They have the personality of the message or of the word. He says to this people, to you. Of course, he's referring here to the Jewish people at this particular time, but he's looking at his own countrymen in a sense, in the very eye, and he says, listen, to you, to all of you men and women that's standing here before me, I say to you, this message has been sent to you. Of course, the Bible says that. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he's taken his leave from his disciples, he said in Luke 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is where the word to begin with this message. Now, we know that when we come to God's word, that's where they began. Apostle Peter stood in the day of Pentecost. He stood with the power of God upon him. Preached with great power the gospel. There were 3,000 came to Jesus Christ. But he brought the message. He brought the message that was sent down from heaven right to this people. The personality of the message, it was to you. It was for you. And I said to everyone here tonight, this message has been sent from God to you tonight. This is a message to you. Don't be saying it's for him or her next beside you. Here's a message to you. To you and me. Isn't that amazing? The God of heaven, this great and holy and mighty God, that he has sent a message from heaven to you. Right to your heart here tonight. Everyone in this meeting, hearing the gospel, he has sent it to you. And also, can I say here about the personal message, that he, about the preaching of the word, you see, he sent Paul and Barnabas to bring this message. They delivered the message. How did they do it? By preaching. You can see there in Acts chapter 13, verse 16, then Paul stood up and backing with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. You see, he was delivering this personal message for the people. How did he deliver it? How did he bring this message of salvation to this people? Here's how he did it. He preached. He preached the word of God to them. He didn't have dramas. or any other method try to bring this message. But he stood and he looked at this people. And no doubt their eye was focused upon this man of God who stood in their midst. And he preached the message to them. He was only a messenger. He was only a message boy. God says to Paul, deliver that message. Deliver that message to the people at Antioch. And he stood and brought the message by preaching. Some people might say, well, why do those boys stand up on that pulpit and shout and preach and all the rest of it? Well, we're delivering the message. We're delivering God's message. We are God's messengers. With God's message. And we're delivering this word of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ says in Mark 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we sang tonight, send the light, send the blessed gospel light. The Lord Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What are we doing? We're delivering the message. We're delivering the message. We're delivering the word of salvation to you by preaching. And think about the persistence of this word. You see in verse 26, to use the word of salvation sent. And then notice verse 44 of this particular chapter. It says, and the next Sabbath day came almost a whole city together to hear the word of God. And so they heard on this particular day the Apostle Paul delivering this message. But when the next Sabbath day comes, they're all gathered again. He's delivering the message again. Now this is amazing. God sends the message. And then he sends the message again. And then he sends the message again and again and again. He keeps on sending the message to some people. We begin another year in the house of God here today. I asked you, how many times has God sent his message to you? You've heard the gospel many times. Heard about the Lord Jesus Christ to save the world. How many times has this message been, in a sense, placed right into your hand? By God's messenger. You sat in this meeting. You said, that was a word to my heart. I may have been rebuked. But you felt the power of the gospel coming to your heart. And many times. God sent a message. You know, people here tonight, God sent a message to you when you're a little boy and girl, 5 or 6 years old. And maybe you're all up in the teenagers. You sent the message again. And older people here tonight. You see the persistence of the message. He sends it. He sends it. He sends it. I can say tonight without fear of contradiction that I'm not the first person you heard preach the gospel to anybody in this meeting. You've heard other people delivering the message. And God sends this message. Think about the privilege of this message coming to your heart. You see, what a privilege it is to hear the gospel. I say it for this reason. There are multitudes in the world who have never heard the gospel. They've never heard it. There's a group called the Joshua Project State, and they say that there are 7,000 plus groups in the world who has no scripture in their language. They say that in South Asia alone they have almost 600 groups with no scriptures. And there are millions of people all over this world tonight. And they've never had the message sent to them. They've never heard the love of God being expounded. They've never been told about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross and bleeding and dying that we might be saved. They've never been offered the gospel invitation to come on to Jesus Christ. They've never heard a thing. But you have heard it. That's a privilege. This is a privilege that you've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To you, it's the word of salvation. Listen, sent. As if God is putting his finger out in the sand. To you, in this meeting. I have sent this message to your heart. Personally. You don't see it here tonight in this meeting. God has sent his message to you. The gospel. You're a sinner. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. But God has sent a message. How you can be saved. and be delivered from the wrath of God to come. How you can find peace and rest in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has sent this message to you tonight. The 1st of January 2017, a personal message is to you. Can I say quickly about it's a pressing message. And what I mean by that, you're pressed to receive it. When this people were confronted with this word of salvation, they were faced, every one of them, with the responsibility of receiving this message. They heard the glorious message of the cross and the way of salvation. And so they were pressed to receive it, to reach out their hand in a sense and to embrace it. And they were pressed not only to receive it, but to reply to it. To reply to this message of salvation that came to him. And you know, some of them did reply to it. Now let me show you how they replied. Verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost a whole city together to hear the word of God. Now notice, the Apostle Paul no doubt preached salvation and the gospel here. But notice what says verse 45 of this chapter. Well, when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. This multitude of people among the Jews, they heard the message. It was right to their heart. But they started to contradict the Apostle Paul. They started to blaspheme the very words that he brought before them. You see, they were rejecting this message. It says, we don't want it. They turned away from this word. The word of salvation. The word that would give them life. The word that would get them, bring them to heaven, to live with Christ forever. The word that would deliver them from hell. They rejected the message. And you can see what happened, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. He said, I've come, I've preached to you, but you've rejected this message. And here's what happened. God rejected them. God rejected them. They turned away from this word that came down from heaven. He said, we don't want it. We don't want Christ. And Paul says, we turn to the Gentiles. God rejected them. And I can say to anyone unsaved tonight, you may laugh at the message. You may neglect the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or people ignore this message. There are people contradict it or try to contradict the gospel. There are people and they blaspheme this great message of the gospel. But beware. If that is you tonight in this meeting, God can reject you. And you read over in Proverbs 1 where people will call upon the Lord and the Lord says, I will not answer. I called on to you, but you wouldn't listen. How often has God called you to repent from your sins and to believe the gospel and to come to Jesus Christ? But tonight you've never come. You've never been saved. Beware of this. Beware. Then there were people, can I say, received the message. Verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many were ordained to eternal life, believed. Listen, the two groups. Those who rejected the gospel. Those who received it. This is the way it is in this world today. It's those who believe in Jesus Christ and those who will not believe. Some reach out and by the grace of God, they receive this message. They say, I want to repent from my sin. I want that Jesus Christ to be my Savior. Save me, Lord Jesus. They receive the message. But then there's those who reject it. And so it is a pressing message. You're pressed to either to reject it or to receive it. And so I say to you tonight to turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? All these great verses are found in God's word. And maybe you say, well, I've got all year, 2017. Well, I've only commenced it. It's the first day after all. How do you know you'll be here this time next week? How do you know, dear sinner, that you'll be here this time tomorrow night? Boast not yourself of tomorrow, the Bible says, for we know not what a day will bring forth. And every one of us here tonight, including, we know people who was with us one day and gone the next day. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. And I trust you've heard his word today about this message that came down from the God of heaven. The Lord Jesus can save you. He will forgive you your sin. Repent and come to him, and he will give you everlasting life. And if I can help you, speak with me after the meeting. If you want to ask some more questions about what has been proclaimed tonight from the pulpit, do speak with us. But don't go home if you're not right with God. God's waiting tonight to see what you'll do with this message. What are you going to do with it? Think of the question Pilate asked the crowd. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Are you going to accept him as your Savior, or are you going to reject him? To you, tonight in this place, is the word of salvation sent. Reach out by faith tonight and trust the Lord Jesus, and he will save you. May the Lord write his word upon all of our hearts. We're going to sing a couple of verses of a hymn.